the other hand, I don't like to have only the prayer. I'd like to have the opportunity to turn your attention to the scripture every time we meet. My goal is to often take you to the thinking about prayer, especially on prayer meeting. We do want to keep this as a prayer meeting and spend some time in prayer. Two things come to my mind. One is that this is such a privilege to actually speak to the owner, the man who runs the entire universe, to speak to him at his invitation. Nothing is impossible with him. So I think it is an important concept that we miss the whole idea of what a privilege it is to pray. The other thought is that your personal religion, Jerry won't get a sunburn now, your personal religion, your personal faith is almost tied up with prayer. We can get into the church business, preaching, teaching, all of these things, and God wants us to do that. But if you do not pray, and if you do not pray personally, then your Christianity is just a thing you do with other people. It's not a thing of your spirit. I find that whenever I get away from it, and I do, that my faith stiffens up a bit. It becomes a little mechanical. But going to God in prayer, me personally talking to him, I pray with my wife. When family comes to visit, we pray as a family. But if I'm not praying all by myself before God, then I'm not really engaged in prayer. So let me ask you to encourage yourself in this. If there's any one thing you may do religiously that will get the greatest reward in heaven, it must be prayer, because you do it privately. Nobody knows it. Nobody comes around, points to them, look what a wonderful prayer person that is. They don't know. And so what you do in secret can only be rewarded by God and not by men. So let's encourage ourselves in prayer. Brother Jeb, come share with us.
When I told Pastor in conversation that topical messages sometimes are for me intimidating because I don't want, you know, Bible's huge. And I don't want to misrepresent what the Bible says about a topic. And he raised the idea, he said, you know, you don't have to think of this as a unified series where you exhaustively cover prayer, but rather a series of independent messages that are taken from verses that talk about prayer. I was like, oh, well, that's a lot easier. That made me feel better about it. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're not going to be looking at the very, you know, I decided to start with what the New Testament, you know, look at verses that the New Testament, in the New Testament, what they say about prayer. We're not going to start with the very first verse that mentions prayer, because I actually just covered that not that long ago. When I preached on love your enemies, and I said pray for them, that's the very first occurrence of prayer in the New Testament, telling you to pray for your enemies. So we're going to look at the next occurrence of prayer, which is only one chapter later. Seth, if you wanted to pull up the text, it's Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. Reads, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. This is part of a section, this is the second part of a section where he was talking about, he's teaching them about improper motivations in otherwise godly practices. You see, something that they didn't understand, and this isn't a problem that was isolated to the Jewish people, but is a problem that mankind faces again and again, is we focus on the outward act and not on the inward heart. And Christ was revealing to them, you may do something that is an outwardly good thing, but inwardly you're doing it for the wrong reasons. And if you are doing it for the wrong reasons, it has no benefit or value. The indictment that he brings here about prayer is, he says, do not be as the hypocrites are. He labels them hypocrites. Now, I wanted to talk about that real quick, because we use the word hypocrite in a way that is, well, frankly, it's just wrong. I was talking to someone, and they were talking about someone being a hypocrite. And I said, well, what makes them a hypocrite? And what it was is that they said that a certain behavior was wrong, but they themselves did it. And I said, that's not hypocrisy. You don't know what hypocrisy is. I said, that is inconsistency. That may even be foolishness. But that's not hypocrisy. Well, what's hypocrisy then? I said, if they said, this behavior is wrong and I don't do it, when in fact they did, that would be hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is pretense. You see, a hypocrite meant an actor. That's what it meant. It was used in secular Greek to mean somebody who was an actor on stage. And it gained the idea of a person who was, you know, pretending something, pretense, not being honest. They were saying they were one thing when they were really another. That they said, I do these things when I really do these things. And Christ here is labeling these individuals as hypocrites, pretenders, actors. And I find that interesting, because he says that they may be seen of men. And here's the word for actor. You know, the man on stage who wants to be seen and applauded. So I found myself thinking, wow, this is a really good use of the word. He says that they are hypocrites because they pray that they may produce a result in those watching, that they may be seen as being pious individuals. He says the evidence that he brings about their conduct is, he says that they stand in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets when they pray. That, he says, that their reason for doing this is that they may be seen. It says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Whatever esteem they garner from men is all the reward they're going to gain. And God calls that hypocrisy. Now the question is all public prayer wrong? What's going on here? We'll deal with the next verse, but Christ tells them in the next verse to pray privately. Is all public prayer wrong? Well, no, that's easily shown. I'm going to mention some scripture references. You don't need to turn there. If you want to note them, that's fine, but I don't expect you to jump there, because I've summarized what the occasion is. Just for reference, that there were many times that Christ, that there were times that Christ and the apostles prayed publicly. In John chapter 17, the entire chapter is Christ praying for the disciples. And everything in the language is, he was doing it, he had been teaching them, he stops, he starts praying, and it's audible. And then he stops and he turns back to them. So here's a case of public prayer by our Savior. Acts chapter 1, verse 24, when the disciples are trying to determine how to replace Judas Iscariot, they pray publicly. Acts chapter 6, in the choosing of the deacons, they pray publicly for the men chosen. Hey, come on in. So, by there just being just these, if I had just alone raised John chapter 17, that would show us that it is not always wrong to pray publicly. I think there's something in the language, some subtleties in the language that I want to impress on you, the difference as to why Christ was telling, you know, condemning the prayer of the man he labels as a hypocrite, and yet, and then he tells, in the next verse, he tells his disciples to pray privately. But here, we see the disciples and Christ praying publicly. So what's the distinction here? There's some subtleties of language that can be missed in English. One, the word prayer is in the middle voice that doesn't actually exist in English. So it's almost impossible to represent accurately in English. You see, in English with a verb, you can say, I hit the ball, or I was hit by the ball. I hit the ball is active. I was hit is passive. And those are the voices of action. Those are the only two voices we have in English. Active, passive. So you either are doing the action or you're saying the action was done to you. But Greek, the Greek New Testament had a third voice called the middle voice in which the subject is doing the action for the benefit of the subject or in relation to itself. The closest that you can come to reflect that middle voice idea is when you say something like, the window broke. You're not saying that the window broke something. You're not saying that the window was broken by someone. You're just saying, in and of itself, it broke. That's the closest you can come to representing the middle voice in English. And you can only do that with some verbs. This verb is in the middle voice. Secondly, the use of the singular form of the second person pronoun when elsewhere in this same context he uses the plural form. So instead of saying you all, he's saying you singular. So he's saying when you alone are praying in relation to yourself, that's the distinction. What was the hypocrite doing? He was publicly performing private prayer. These other occurrences that I mentioned when Christ was publicly praying and when the disciples were publicly praying, they were not praying for themselves. They were praying for the benefit of others. They were performing public prayer publicly. The hypocrite, by the language, I would argue that the hypocrite is said to be someone who performs private prayer publicly. When you are praying for yourself, that ought to be a thing between you and God. But there's nothing wrong for pastor to stand up here and to pray and ask God to bless the preaching of the word and for people to get saved. That is public prayer. So the distinction here is a man who is making himself very visible while performing his private prayers. Remember the distinction in the story that Christ raises between the Pharisee and the publican. And he says that the publican stood up in the synagogue and prayed and thanked God that he was not as the publican. But it says that the publican stood afar off and would not raise so much as his head. So think about it. Wouldn't raise so much as his head. So what position of his body was he in? The Pharisee is said to have been standing in the synagogue. The publican was far off, and the Bible says he would not raise so much as his head. So everything was down. So here he was in a position of prostration and humility, begging for the mercy of God, whereas the Pharisee stood in the midst of the people where he could be seen, and in his prayer praised himself. This is the difference. So, private prayer ought to be done privately between you and God. Prayer for others, prayer that is, you know, motivated to pray for others and for the group, that is perfectly acceptable as a public thing. And notice here, Christ puts his finger. Why would a person do this? Why would you air, you know, why would you do your private prayers so that people, in a very public way, standing on a street corner or standing in the midst of a group of people, so that you may be seen? That is why. That is why he's called the pretender. The hypocrite is an actor, a pretender. And he is called a pretender because he's not praying to God. He's putting on a show of piety. Make himself look good. It reminded me not that long ago, one of my children had disobeyed, and I told them, I said, you need to go, after I corrected them, I said, you need to go apologize to your mother for your disobedience. And they went over, and let's say you're Heidi. And this is my child apologizing. Mommy, I'm sorry for my disobedience. Please forgive me. And Heidi said, who are you apologizing to? Because you weren't apologizing to me. You said mommy, but you weren't talking to me. I have said this before, I will say it again. Why we do what we do is often more important than what it is that we're doing. I've often told people, I said, look, if you get your why right, the what's will work themselves out. You can do all manner of outwardly righteous things, but if they are done for self-aggrandizement, to lift yourself up, to make yourself look good, to get ahead, to get something that you want, it counts as nothing in the eyes of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the first few verses. The Apostle Paul talks about all these extremes of things that he could do for God. He says, if I give all my goods to the poor and have not love, it is nothing. He says, if I give my body to be burned and I have not love, it is nothing. He said, if I have all the knowledge, it's like a noisy gong that has no meaning. He can have all the eloquence, all the knowledge, all the miraculous abilities, give everything he has to the poor, give his body, you know, sacrifice his own life. And if it's done for the wrong reason, it has no value. Why? Because it is pretense. It's hypocrisy. It's an act. You say you're doing it for the love of God, but in truth, you're doing it to get ahead. So this is where I would encourage you that when you're going to pray, consider in your heart why you're praying. Now, don't quit if you don't have the right attitude. Just spend some time getting the right attitude. Work your way through it. I'll tell you what, there's been many a time I've begun a prayer with, God, I am a hard-hearted, selfish person. I'm more worried about me right now than I am anyone else. And I start thinking about how I'm a sinner, and yet God sent Christ to die for me. How that he's given me so much in my life, and I've frequently disappointed him, and yet he always responds with love. And I just work through that until I finally bring my heart in line with God's heart. And then I find I can really pray. So, I guess that's it for tonight. Next Wednesday, we're going to be actually in chapter 6 for a while. So, because verse 6, it goes to, he says how you should pray. And then after that is the what we call the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. And so we're going to look at that. So probably for the next couple weeks at least, we'll be in Matthew chapter 6. All right, Pastor Weigel.